Welcome to Formula Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And Cindy, we're coming to the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what that means?
It means that Christmas is around the corner.
And New Year's Eve. Christmas is around the corner. And Hanukkah is going on, and all the holidays are here. But the end of the year means contemplation time, right?
Absolutely.
And if you're a person who, how do I say this more accurately? I'm a list maker.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what is the best thing? What is the next best thing? What is the next best thing after that?
Right.
I want to make that list. I want to rank things. I want to organize my data, sort it, and then blow it up and do it better somehow the next year.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of doing the list,
and your brain just automatically does that without any, you know, prompting really.
It's the Teutonic, right? The Teutonic chip.
Teutonic.
Yeah, exactly.
Got it. Right.
I have no choice but to data sort. So. But I was thinking, let's do it with a little premonition for 2015.
Yes.
Let's talk about, maybe we'll be forced to listen to this program in another year and see how much we missed on.
Right. Well, I'm definitely going to miss on a lot of my.
But here are the lists we need to make on this program. We need to make the list of the top 10 places you want to eat.
Mm-hmm.
The top 10 things we want to cook in 2015. The top 10 things we want to drink, much more fun,
mm-hmm.
And the top 10 places to visit.
Yes.
With food and wine in mind.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would be interesting if, especially if after the fact, if listeners would send us emails at formerwolf@wypr.org and give us some things that hit your lists on those topics.
Yeah, I would love to hear what people would like to accomplish this year.
It was
one of the things that I always do at the end of the year. I start to, on a serious note, is contemplate the business and my kitchen staff and consider, you know, what is it that we want to achieve in the coming year. And also, I talk with each one of my kitchen guys and ladies after the beginning of the year to give them goals. And, you know, whether it's review time or not, I don't care. It's time to think about what do you want to achieve as a cook, and what do we want to achieve as a restaurant. So that's also something that I do seriously think about.
Yeah, you know, I have a particular glee for January 1st when all of a sudden we have done nothing for the year, and we have the entire
it's
year ahead of
start.
Us.
It's a fresh start. Yeah, it is exciting. I love a new year.
To do something.
Yeah. It's.
So what are we going to do? Pick a category.
Yeah, I want to do the 10 places you want to go this year. I'm very excited about
10
that.
Places
I love to
go,
travel.
10
you
places
love
you want to go to eat.
Yes, to eat. Well, that's, yes, it's to go.
Why would you go anywhere?
Right. Well, that's the thing. You know, it's funny. I sort of started to approach it by just 10 places I wanted to go, and then I realized that it was truly just 10 places I wanted to go to eat their food. So, yes, it is hand in hand.
It's nice if the weather's nice. It's great if they're historic sites.
Right.
You certainly need something.
But the most important thing is the food and wine that they offer, and the culture. Well, you know, what is their culture? That's the thing about eating people. You know, going to new places.
That's the thing about eating people?
Eating people's food. No, we're not going to be eating people, but eating the food.
I want to hear what
that
destination is.
Really beginning to understand their culture through their food. That's what I meant to say.
Yes, chef.
Okay.
We chef. So where's on your list?
My first place is India.
In India?
I want to go to the Himalayan mountains. So my goal, it's threefold. I love mountains. And I want to see one of the highest peaks in the world.
Chef has no aspirations. She just wants to cook on the world's highest mountain, right?
Right. Well, I don't really want to cook there. I just want to eat their food and experience it. And I want to see those mountains really badly. Mount Everest is at 29,000 feet. And one of the other highest peaks is Kangchenjunga. I don't know how to say it, but hopefully that's right. And it's at 28,000 feet. So I would really like to go to India. I have my niece has married a young man from India. He was actually born in the United States. His mother and father are from India. And I would just really like to go to that country with him. And I also have a couple of other friends that are from India. And I just think it would be an amazing place from a food standpoint. I love their cooking. And,
they cook for a billion people every day.
Exactly. And I really want to see their food markets. And in the end, my list is all about the food markets. When I first started going to the markets in Paris, it's an eye-opening experience to see the food, to see what they have available to them every day, that they can walk out of their house and just get this, you know, amazing birds and amazing cheese and beautifully made bread and fresh fish and all these wonderful things. So I really would love to travel the world and see the different food markets in some of these major cities. So that's where I start, in Tibet,
India,
Tibet, basically. Yeah.
Anywhere else?
The next place I've been wanting to go for a long time, for a specific reason, which is to the United Kingdom. I would really like to visit our cheesemakers, because we do
cheese producers.
There are probably 20 cheese producers I would like to visit in the United Kingdom, and they're small farmhouse cheesemakers, and they're just doing amazing work. And United Kingdom has come so far since the 80s. Their cheesemaking processes were devastated after World War II, during and after World War II. So
there's an interesting difference in what the evolution has been in the UK versus and all the British Isles versus a lot of Western Europe, which kind of had a bigger rep, it seemed like, for a long time for their cheese. But the cooperative system in Western Europe has made cheese much more consistent, but also much less character at times. It seems like only in France, when you get cheese shipped from France, you're getting the things from the cooperative. You don't always get the very best of what's available, say, from Normandy, where we've had great stuff in Normandy. But it's really hard to get Pont-l'Évêque at the level that you can find it from a little individual.
The pasteurization requirements, that's the biggest problem.
But it's also the little individual farm, because you're not getting things from a little individual farm. They're being snapped up by the best restaurants
local,
in France.
Right, the local guys.
The cheese in the UK, they're excited to get it out to people, and that's kind
of... Well,
and
thank goodness that's what Niels Yard Dairy's whole project is to distribute cheese from these small farmhouse cheesemakers. So, if somebody needs to do that in France... and if we didn't have the pasteurization requirements, we would get better cheese from France here in the United States as well. So if someone would work with the smaller houses.
So you want to get to cheesemakers in the UK?
I do.
Okay.
Well, and then really it's, I wish that I could go to Iran, which is not going to happen, obviously. But I would someday really like to go there because my brother-in-law is from Iran. And I've been eating Iranian food for a long time. My sister has become a very good cook of Iranian or Persian food. And I've eaten in a number of Persian restaurants throughout our country. And I would really like to see their markets and taste their food firsthand. Anthony Bourdain just did an amazing show on Iran. And it was a glimpse into things that we don't often get to see. And also a glimpse into their culture as well as just about food. So I highly suggest watching that show. And so those are my top three, one of which I won't be able to achieve, which is Iran. I'd like to go to the market in Istanbul. My pastry chef.
So now you're hitting on my list.
Yeah,
now.
You know very well that
Istanbul and Turkey are for no reason that I can think of. As much as I love food from the Mediterranean, I have spent zero time in Turkey, and as much as I like that food from that part of the Middle East, from there, from Lebanon. I'm probably irresponsible. I'm afraid I'm going to have to leave immediately.
I would just really like to see that market. And after, as I said, my pastry chef was living there for over a year, and I got to see her photographs after she left us. And she's a good cook too, and she's extremely interested in all food and very open-minded person, and really wanted to delve into the culture and did her best to learn the language. I mean, just an extraordinary woman. And I'm really excited to go there, and that is really a goal for sure.
There are a lot of people that say that cuisine of Asia Minor is one of the three really cultivated, long history cuisines and traditions in the world.
That's why I also feel so, wanting to see Persian food, because it is one of the oldest cuisines. And you think about all these ingredients that we now have in our country that came from Persia, and
The vine came from Persia. That's the
exactly.
The path of the vine is really the path of the Phoenicians who were doing trade with the Persians and then through the Roman Empire.
The market in Brussels, I have a black and white photograph that I've had hanging in my kitchen for a little while now that every time I look at it, I just badly want to go to that market. And I think it's in the Grand Place. It's also a flower market, but the architecture of that square is just astounding. And I would like to see that as well as experience the market.
There are more Michelin stars. The Belgians have it pretty good. There are more Michelin starred restaurants in Belgium than any other, but by population density. So Cindy, it's funny, Brussels hasn't been on the agenda oftentimes when we've been close by because it's not wine orientation, but I guess it would make an awful lot of sense, especially when the weather was decent.
To go there would be beautiful. And
anywhere else on your list?
Mm-hmm. Singapore, in particular. My father traveled there a great deal in his work life, and I've just heard so much about Singapore from him. And I would like to walk, you know, kind of follow his footsteps there. I'd like to see the fruit markets there in particular. But that's just, you know, I've never been to a country like that, so I'd really like to experience that culture as well. And a pastry trip to Vienna. Actually, you and I have talked about that. I really taking a work trip.
Well, you
trip
know, Vienna's always on my list. It's funny, of the comfort places for me, Vienna is very high. It's the scale of the city is fantastic, and the very civilized quality of life in the city is terrific, and the preponderance of music kind of around every other corner, mm-hmm. and the availability of classical music is just terrific and constant. And you know, maybe the 14th best cellist in Vienna, maybe one of the 20 best cellists in the world. So it's kind of
that would be and also the mountain range that's close to Vienna and near Salzburg is just so amazing. So that, you know, I'm going to combine sort of my love for mountains with my love for food and travel, and I would like to go back to that region. I haven't been there since 1985, which
in the summer they're great day trips where you can go into the Wachau, which is along the the Danube, the Donau.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the little towns up along there. There's lots of small country restaurants that do really beautiful.
That would be so amazing.
Very easy to go back 100 years in a second to the Habsburg sort of lifestyle, if you want to, and drink mm-hmm. great Grüneveltliner and have a Sommersalaten and just relax and enjoy the vista.
I'd love to go to the market in Moscow as well. Again, I don't know that it's realistic to go to Russia, but I would love to go to Russia someday. I'd like to see the Winter Palace and go to the museums and just, you know, again, that's such a faraway place and such a different culture. I would like to experience that.
So your list, your top 10 list is all about remote foods from where you are. That's super interesting. When we come back on Formula Wolf on Food and Wine, we're going to hit a few more of our top 10 lists for our hopes for 2015 in food and wine.